Let us commence our worship together as we sing the first hymn. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Let us stand together to worship. Let us all unite our hearts now before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O our Father and our God, we would still our hearts, Lord, in thy presence in prayer. And we would ask in our Savior's name that you would draw nigh to us. We pray, our blessed Father, for thy presence in our gathering here tonight in the meeting. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious promise, Lord, of your presence. Even where two or three are gathered in thy name, you have promised to be in the midst of them. God, how glorious and how wonderful that Jehovah, the Almighty, the All-Powerful God, would draw nigh to us. Into our assembly. Come, Lord, we pray, come. We need thy help. We need thy presence. We ask of thee, our gracious God, to undertake for us. We recognize our Father as we bow in prayer this night, that thou art indeed the fount of all blessing, of every blessing and of every mercy. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, that thou hast not changed. For our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank thee for that, Lord, in this changing, ever-changing world of ours. Our God is on the throne, and changes never. We bless thee for the one who is at thy right hand, and whoever lives to intercede for us. Our mediator and our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. God, we thank thee for him. We thank thee for thy beloved Son who came into this world of ours to be born in that stable in Bethlehem, the Virgin Mary, to live in this world, to suffer for us, to die crucified, buried and rose again from the dead We thank thee that we serve a risen Savior who has conquered death and has conquered the enemy and has overcome. We thank thee that victory is ours tonight in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the words of the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? We thank thee, Lord, nothing can separate your people. Not even death or principalities or powers. Not the enemy himself. Lord, we thank thee that none is able to pluck us out of thy hand. We praise thee for the gospel. We thank thee indeed it is good news. Glad tidings. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May sinners and souls be saved tonight throughout the land. The length and breadth of this country, wherever the gospel is preached, wherever, Lord, it may be, Lord, a lowly place. It may be, oh God, perhaps some broken down hall, wherever. We pray as the word goes forth that the power of God would go with it and souls would be rescued. Rescued from the hand of the enemy, saved from a lost eternity, brought into the family and fold of God. We pray for revival, the revival of our own hearts, with the power of God. We pray for a passion tonight, not a passion, Lord, for this world, but a passion for God, a passion for the love of God and of Christ and of the Spirit. Granted to us, Lord, we pray. Visit our hearts. Stir us up, we pray, and bless us. Undertake for us. Bless the work of the Lord here. Encourage every child of God. Thank you for this witness and testimony and the faithfulness of your people. Bless them in all their endeavors, Lord, among the children, the Sunday school teachers, among the young people, their prayer meetings, all they seek to do. God bless them, we ask. The Reverend, bless your servant, the Reverend Macmillan, as well, and be with him. Keep thy hand upon him for good. We thank you for your mercies to him in the days that are gone by when he was ill. We thank you for raising him up. Bless him tonight. May he know the power of God resting upon him and his family. Remember those that are not able to be with us here tonight in the gathering, that are laid aside, those that are watching in at home, we pray you'll bless, Lord. We pray you'll comfort their hearts. We pray you'll encourage each and every one and be with them. And for all who mourn tonight the loss of family and loved ones, oh God, comfort them, we pray. We thank thee, Lord, that you're the God who does comfort. You're touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and you sympathize with us. Be with us, our Father, tonight in the meeting. Bless our fellowship. May we have a meeting with God. May we go away encouraged and strengthened in the faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Now we'll read our passage of Scripture tonight. And we're reading from Paul's epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 1. And we'll start our reading at the verse 1. Romans chapter 1. And the verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also that called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. For as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. We'll end our reading at the verse 19, and we thank God for his precious word that he has given to us tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to every heart here in the meeting. I'm going to call upon our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, if he'll come please with the announcements for us.
We welcome everyone to our gospel service this evening, and if you're visiting with us, you're especially welcome. And we welcome again our brother, the Reverend Larry Parr, as our preacher, and we also welcome his wife, Mrs. Parr. I hope I didn't forget her this morning, did I?
She wasn't here this morning.
So wasn't there that? So, yeah, good. Now, the announcements for the rest of the week. Tuesday, the children's bright hours in both the church and in Killalea Band Hall. Wednesday, 3 p.m., the broadcast on Radio Star Country. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The meeting will be conducted by Mr. Stephen Crawford, a fourth-year student at the Whitfield College of the Bible. And as I mentioned this morning, we had a deputation meeting for the ploughing match outreach, and the amount so far collected comes to £1,819, and we thank you for your generous giving. And remember, you can still give to that. Just put your donation in an envelope and mark it for the ploughing outreach. Friday, 8 p.m., Youth Fellowship speaker, Mr. David Carson. Saturday at 10:30 a.m., the outreach team will be meeting at the church to walk down into Armagh City Centre for 11 a.m. to do outreach at the Georgian Day. Alternatively, if it suits you better to make your way to the city centre yourself and to meet the outreach team there, that would be fine. And we encourage as many as possible to help with this special outreach. Next Lord's Day, the 20th of November, 10:40 a.m. the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m. morning service, 6:30 p.m. evening service. Preacher of both services would be the Reverend Gordon Ferguson. And you'll notice that has changed. It was originally Mr. Chris Killen, but Chris has a surgery appointment that he's been waiting for 2 years, and it has come up now. So please remember to pray for Chris as he goes through this procedure. And as a church, we extend our sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Walker, on the death of her brother, Mr. Wilson Giffen. And that death took place on Wednesday last. Please pray for Mrs. Walker and the family circle as they go through this difficult time. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for those announcements tonight. Now we're going to sing our second hymn together. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all. And let us stand together to sing, please.
Thank you.
good to see everyone tonight here in the meeting. And that's a great encouragement. And thank you all for coming tonight. And thank our brother for his kind words of welcome here again to the pulpit in Armagh. Good to be with you again. Let's bow in a word of prayer as we turn to the Word. Oh God, we thank you for the precious words that we have sung tonight. There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall. Lord, we thank thee that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless the word to us tonight. Again, our Heavenly Father, we would pray, O God, for Mrs. Walker tonight and the family circle, their bereavement. Draw nigh to them and help them, we pray. Remember our brother Chris Killen as well as he prepares for the operation. Pray, Lord, that he will know in a very real way your good hand upon him and undertake for him and see him through, Lord, we ask. And undertake and bless him, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us turn together for a few moments tonight here in this passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, and the verse that I want to leave with you tonight is the verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16. The words of the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, I'm sure we have often used the phrase, "I am convinced," or I am convicted of a certain argument. And we carry that with us. It's something that is laid upon our hearts. So there's a conviction that we're right and we are fully convinced. Now it's wonderful when we turn to the Scriptures, when we turn to the Word of God. We find a man here like the Apostle Paul. But not only the Apostle Paul, but indeed all the apostles and all the evangelists of the New Testament and the prophets, again in the Old Testament. And what do we find? We find that there were men that were fully convinced and had a deep, deep conviction of the Word of God and of the truth of the gospel. And as I say, the Apostle Paul was such a man. Just when we think tonight of what he passed through in his own lifetime, the difficulties and the hardships and the many, many trials that this man endured because he was fully convinced of the gospel message that it was indeed the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So he traveled far and near to proclaim this wonderful message and this good news. We know that he was imprisoned for the sake of the gospel. We read in the book of Acts that he was smuggled out of the town of Berea. He was laughed at and scoffed at in Athens. And he was regarded as a fool in Corinth. They looked at him, they listened to him. But as far as these wise men and these wise philosophers were concerned in the city of Corinth, this man knew nothing. Who was he? They had their great men. They had their learned men. They had their own ideas and their own philosophies. And they just regarded him as a fool. But as I say, he had a great passion for to proclaim this message of the gospel because he knew what it was. That's what we want to think about tonight. He knew that this was the only message that could change the hearts and lives of men, of the Jews and of the heathen and of the Greeks and so on. This was the one message. And of course, they went everywhere, we read in the book of Acts, preaching the word. And they were called, these men that came, these men that turned the world upside down. And it was the message that they preached, the power of God, that had such a great impact. So we want to think first and foremost here about the gospel. And he tells us so clearly and so plainly what the gospel is, what it is. Yes, we often refer to the gospel, and rightly so, as the glad tidings, the best news that ever came to man. Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save them from sin and the power of sin and the power of Satan, and to save them from a lost, lost eternity. And when I'm talking about a lost eternity, men and women, I'm referring to hell, everlasting punishment. And he came to save them from that awful end and from that awful doom. It is the power of God unto salvation. And it's wonderful to read the apostle's words and his preaching. And as I say, not only the Apostle Paul, but Peter, James and John, all the great evangelists and the apostles. These men did not waffle around. Let us note that carefully. They didn't waver when they proclaimed the message. They weren't saying to people, well, now we think that this might help you, or you could be helped by doing good or improving yourself. And listen to what we have to say. There was no doubt whatever in their own minds. There was no doubt in their own hearts. This deep conviction that this great message, the message of the cross, of Christ crucified, was indeed the power of God unto salvation. And this is how it is defined here, the power of God. Now we know, of course, that this great truth is set before us there, first of all, in the Old Testament, book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the power of God. And men and women, let us not doubt it for one moment, it is something that is real. It is something that is up to date. There's no doubt about us that each and every one of us tonight, especially those of us who are just getting on a little bit in years, our power and our faculties have weakened a little. But this can never be said of the one who is on the throne. The power of God is still the same. And it was this power, of course, that delivered the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. What else could do it? There they were, a band of people, nobodies, slaves. They had no weapons, they had no influence, they had no great men until Moses was sent along, and even he depended upon the help of God and was used as an instrument. But there was Israel, no future, nothing before them at all, but a life of defeat and a life of doom. Pharaoh, the mighty man, was over the land. A great army, a great nation at the time. But if we turn to the book of Exodus for a moment, we read these wonderful words. In the book of Exodus, and in the chapter 15, and in the verse 6. And here we have these tremendous words. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. That is, the Egyptians. They had, on their way fleeing out of the land, they came to the Red Sea. All seemed to be over. They couldn't go any further. They looked, and they looked behind, and they saw Pharaoh coming with his mighty army. But God intervened. God had brought them thus far. And now he was going to take them across the Red Sea. It was the hand of God that did it. It was the power of the Almighty God that delivered the people of Israel into the wilderness, led them on into the promised land against all the terrible obstacles and the odds that lay before them. Now, it is the same power that saves men and women. Perhaps somebody might say or be thinking to themselves, well, does it really take this power to save a soul? Would a little help from God not do? Would a little help not do? Would a little encouragement not do? Or a little assistance? Does it really take the intervention of the one who created the heavens and the earth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you mean to tell me tonight in this meeting that it takes the almighty power of the living God to save a soul? Well, yes, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to us. It is the power of God unto salvation. And of course, spiritually speaking, what an awful state. I suppose it's something that we overlook, or something that we don't take perhaps as serious as we ought, when we think of the awful spiritual condition of fallen man, of our fallen sinful nature. We're tempted for to think that the unconverted man, perhaps he has a little power in him. He can help himself up. He can assist himself. But no, he is fallen. And his nature is depraved. And he is corrupt. You remember the words of the psalmist David, as we have them in that well-known psalm, Psalm 51 and in the verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What's he speaking about? Shapen in iniquity, and he said, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Came into the world a fallen, sinful man. And so it is right down to the generations. He's talking, of course, about, he's not blaming his mother. He's speaking about his own sinful nature. His own sinful nature. Now, I know that tonight multitudes of people do not like this message. Because, you see, religion continues to tell people that they can help themselves somehow or another. They can pull themselves up. They can get themselves out of the awful, awful deep hole that they're in. But the fact of the matter is, they can't. Man left to himself has no desire for to know God or to have fellowship with God. He's living, as I said this morning, for the here and now. But he has no desire after the Lord. You see, there's so many passages of Scripture that lays this before us, our awful fallen nature. And we find some very strong words used in the Bible. Look there, for example, in Ephesians, in the chapter 2 and the verse 1. And these Gentile believers, and the Apostle Paul is writing to them to help them in certain issues. And he is reminding them of their former condition, what they were like, and what every one of us is like by nature. What does he say? What words does he use? You see, in Ephesians chapter 2 and in the verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, that is, brought to life, spiritual life. It's a miracle of the resurrection, quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. That's why the natural man tonight, he'll head off to the pub or the dance or wherever it might be. And he has absolutely no fear whatever of eternity. He has no thought about it. He just wants to go on the way he's going. Why is that? He has no dread of meeting God in judgment. He has no dread of his life coming suddenly to an end. It is because he is dead spiritually. Oh yes, he may be very much alive physically and very with it and very talented and advancing in this world, going on from strength to strength, as it were. But oh, his spiritual condition. He's dead. He's dead. And again, he goes on to repeat this in the verse 5. Even when ye were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. All of grace. And it's all God putting forth his hand and quickening, saying to the dead man, the dead sinner, live, live. Dead in trespasses and in sins. We have it again here in the verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. They were strangers, you say, and they were foreigners. But now look at the change. Look at the difference. Now they are fellow citizens with the saints, numbered among the saints of God, and of the household of God. Oh, men and women, is there anything more wonderful? Is there a greater privilege tonight than being a member of the household of God? Numbered among the saints of God? The people of God are referred to as the heirs of God, and they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see the difference? Brought from this awful condition. But I tell you, again, nothing can do it. Your social gospel can't do it that's being poured out today. A lot of nonsense going out. Oh, we're all good people and we're all going to heaven, and do your best and live a respectable life. And never mind about this business of being saved or born again or washed in the blood. You don't need it. We're all good people at heart. And the Word of God tells us that our condition is an awful one. Desperate, as it were. Oh, yes. Multitudes of people tonight are happy. They're happy with just a little religion. With enough religion just to keep them going. And men of religion, they can cut it as they please. They can pare it down. They can control it. And they can say, oh, no, I'm not having that and I'm not having the other. I'll just do the very minimum. Religion. There's such a thing as a man-made religion. Having a form of godliness. That's what we have tonight. We have a form of godliness. But we're denying the power of it. People are being told all over the land, and there's nothing new about it. There's nothing to worry about. I tell you, a man is in a pulpit just for one business, and that is to tell souls their need of salvation. And like the Apostle Paul, to be a man of conviction and not to pare things down and to trim the message. But I tell them faithfully. And isn't it an awful thing too that we hear very often where men do seek to take a stand. They're in a church for a lot of weeks or a lot of months, and the next thing they're got rid of. And they're got rid of by a lot of respectable sinners. A lot of rich controlling everything. That's religion for you. That's man. And it's only the power of God can change him. What about our minds and our thinking? I spoke about that this morning. Has that been affected? People don't like to hear that, surely. They say, well, I'm well with it, and I'm sensible, and I have my religion and my faith and so on like that. but even our minds have been terribly affected. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. What does he tell us? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The God of this world, he's speaking there about the devil. And men and women tonight, there's a devil. There is such a one as Satan and as principalities and powers. And he is at work. And he has only one interest and one business. It is to keep men and women in darkness and in blindness. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Because he is afraid of something. There's a whole lot of people tonight, and they're not afraid, or at least they say they're not afraid. Oh no, I'm not afraid of God, and I'm not afraid of the gospel. But the devil is. Because the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us, he has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. And if you're not saved tonight in the meeting, the devil is working hand and fist. He is working with all his might to keep you in darkness, to present every argument and every device. He is afraid of that light of the gospel going into your mind and going into your heart and you being saved. He is a strong man armed. Yes, a man may be very gifted, very intelligent. He may have many, many gifts. But I tell you, when it comes to spiritual things, because of the fall, he does not see or grasp or understand the gospel or the things of God. And he may perhaps, and very often, they take part in the most foolish things. The most intelligent of people. And yet they'll believe the most foolish doctrines. The doctrines of man. The mind. Oh, how desperate is the need of the unsaved man. Yes, as I said, he is under the power of darkness. You remember, again, the Apostle Paul writing there to the church at Colossae, chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us, he said, from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what he told the Christians at Colossae. Rejoice, be glad, because he has translated you, brought you out of darkness, brought you out from under the power of Satan, and brought you into the glorious light of the gospel. It is like, as we have often done, I'm sure, like stepping out of a dark room. You're in the room there, the light may be, there's no light in it, and it is dark, pitch black. You open the door and you step out into the light of the sitting room. Translated out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Now it takes the power of God to do that. Only the power of God can do it. You can't do it yourself. The church can't do it for you. Ministers can't do it for you. Don't care who they are, whether they be bishops or popes or anybody else. They can't do it. No, that's the grace of God. That's the power of God. A man is justified by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he tells us here, in the second place, what the gospel can do. And it is the power of God unto salvation. What a wonderful word. Salvation. Means, of course, to deliver or to rescue. To deliver or to rescue. Years ago, and I suppose that the phrase is still used today, the farmer would have spoken about, well, I better get on with the work, I haven't any time to spare because I've got to get the hay saved. He cut it. It was put into rows. Even back in the days of the old horses, There it was all in rows. And the man was very anxious because perhaps there was bad weather on the way. Have to get this hay saved. He may have gone to the neighbors for help, but it had to be got in. Had to be put up in rooks or baled or whatever. Saved. A man is saved or rescued from a burning building. It's on fire. He's in desperate need, but he's rescued. And he is saved. A man is on the verge of drowning. And he cries out from the river or the lake, "Throw me in the lifeline." It's almost gone. How happy he is for to lay hold upon the lifeline. And he is saved. Oh, to save, to have your soul saved. Yes, we are more than the body. But this power of God unto salvation, what is it, men and women? It is to make a new man. It is the new birth. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." He needs the new birth to make him a new man. Yes, it's possible for a man to patch himself up and to do many good things and to give up things. But the heart is still the same. Depravity is there. Sin is there. Enmity against God and against the gospel. And again, when the Apostle Paul was writing there to the church at Corinth, you remember what he said? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." A new creature. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." My, what a change. I'm reading at the present time, on and off, the history of the great revival in Wales. The Wesleyan revival, as many people call it, the Welsh Calvinistic revival. My, what a change. And here in Ulster as well. Drunkards were changed. Immoral living. All of that swept across the land. The power of man couldn't do it. Yes, faithful men went out and they preached the gospel of the new birth and of repentance. But oh, the change in the country. The singing of hymns and the meeting houses packed out to capacity. Homes changed and lives changed. Now the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That's what it is. Have you experienced it? Have you come to Christ? Tonight, are you saved? Or are you in a lost condition? Are you thinking to yourself, perhaps, "Oh, I could do many a thing to improve myself. I could give up this, that, or the other." Yes, you probably can. You could give up many a thing, but you're still in your sins. It's the heart that needs to be changed. The gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ himself, the risen Christ, is the only one that can do it. And the moment you trust him, dear friend, tonight, the moment you trust him, you are forgiven. You have redemption through his blood. The apostle reminds us in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It's according to the riches of his grace. Redemption, redeemed. We sing it, don't we? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, tonight, isn't it wonderful? When you go home, you can lay your head upon your pillow. And you know that if you don't awaken in this world, all is well with your soul. Religion can't do that. or preaching a social gospel can't do it, or telling men to improve themselves or pull themselves up by their shoelaces can't do it. Only the power of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Isn't it wonderful to have it? Whenever the call of God comes, whether it be soon or later on, whenever, you're ready for to meet Him. All is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Of course, it includes assurance as well. Eternal life. You remember the words of our Savior in John chapter 10? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The devil can't pluck you out of God's hand. And in Romans 8, we read it there. The challenge is given by the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Persecution? Principalities or powers? He says not even death can separate us. And the devil can't do it. None can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, the hymn pinpoints it well. Satan's slave no longer, now a child of God. And it is to him that believeth. Him that believeth. Not to him that works, no. Him that believeth. It is all of grace. Ye are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it anyway to believe? It is to trust. It is to trust. It's the poor sinner saying, yes, Lord, I will trust you to save me. Completely, 100%, utterly, I will trust the Lord with my soul. I'll trust him for the forgiveness of sins. I will trust him. Faith, dear friend, as I've often pointed out, faith is the hand that reaches out and takes what God offers. It is the channel of blessing through which the grace of God comes to us. Faith says, I will take what God has offered to me. I will take forgiveness and mercy. I will receive the cleansing of the blood. I take, and thank God he undertakes for me. Our awful condition. But it would be terrible tonight if we had to leave it there. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believes. No matter what the man's condition is, whatever his past is, however terrible his character or his record, Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners. To call them to repentance and to save them. Are you saved tonight in the meeting? Have you got this? Are you a new person? I'm not asking you if you're a perfect person. No, well, not, there'll be no perfection until we reach glory. But are you saved? Oh, look to the Lord tonight. Lean upon him. Trust him with all your heart. There is life for a look at the crucified one. For a look at the Savior. Looking to his wounds, looking to his blood, looking to him, the one who died upon the cross. Look, sinner, look, and you're saved. The moment you look, you're saved, and you have life eternal. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. People don't like the gospel. It goes against man's pride. Look what I have done. Look what I can do. But it is all nothing. It is all nothing. It all blows away. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let us sing together in closing our meeting tonight. Our last hymn, it's number 200 in our hymn book. Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Let us stand together as we sing. Our Father, be pleased to bless thy word to some soul in the meeting. Perhaps someone not saved in tonight, save them. Save them, we pray. May they not leave without calling upon the Lord for mercy. O God, prosper thy truth and thy word. Part us, Lord, with thy blessing, our Father, tonight, and undertake for us and encourage us and help us in the things of God. Grant everyone a safe journey home. Keep thy hand upon us throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps